All right, take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. All right, verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And the higher powers is talking about here is the people that are in charge, government, and especially the Lord. He's the higher power. People always use the higher power in the in AA and NA and all that stuff, the higher power here. But physically, it's the local magistrates and that, and it kind of explains it. It explains what the higher power is here. But it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. We're all subject to laws and rules and regulations. And most of the laws that we have is from the Word of God. And we have the Bible, we have the old Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we have all them Old Testament laws, and they're put in place, but then there's amendments to it and stuff like that with the local magistrates. I've noticed that street preaching was never against the law in this country, never. But what happens is the local magistrates, they change the laws they have ordinances, they stop young men and preachers from preaching on the street because they don't want to hear it because it costs them money. It costs money when it comes to that. They'll stop and they'll come up and say, that's against the law. And against the law of who? Of what? Of our ordinances, of the city. And Smyrna wanted us to get a permit every time we got out to preach. And Dover wants to do the same thing. Now, we could push it and end up going to court, go to jail, all kinds of stuff. You could cause, all kinds of havoc. But, the Bible says, for as much as lieth in you, live peaceful with all men. But it comes down to a point where some things got to be, you got to stand up for what's right. And you got to push it to a point. And you got to be wise in the thing. And it says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers. And for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. God ordained the local magistrates. And thank God. And I thank God for cops. You think about this. They said there was like 8 million people in New York. I think 8 million. And there's 35,000 cops, 35,000, over 35,000. And they've got to keep the peace. Can you imagine New York City with 8 million people and criminals and everything else with no cops and no local security and no local FBI or CIA, whatever it's there, all these different security systems and all those agencies? Can you imagine that? It'd be a crazy place to live. And you already got people killing each other in the streets all over the place. Washington, D.C., same thing. Philadelphia, Los Angeles, all these places. Can you imagine that without police? I thank God for cops. Before I was saved, I hated cops. When I ride through the town down here, I'm always looking for that cop right down here in Kenton. Yeah, I'm always looking for him. And then the kids were texting me, there's a cop sitting down there. Kids, cops. So why? We're lawbreakers. We're all lawbreakers. I can't stand it to get behind somebody that's going, on the highway and it says 55 and they're only going 55. I can't stand to be around them. Can't be behind them. I want to get on down the road, man. I want to, move, make some tracks. You say, well, you're a lawbreaker. Yeah, I'll pay the tribute for it. I'll pay the tribute if I get caught. I never forget, I was with Mike one time down in Georgia. Mike was running for sheriff, I guess it was. You were running for sheriff, and I said, man, you better slow down. You're going to get a ticket about that time. He got pulled over. He goes, I know him. And they gave him a ticket. They gave him one. Getting a ticket will ruin your day. It'll definitely ruin your day. It bothers you. But the Bible says that they're ordained of God. And I realize there's crookedness and everything, crooked and cops and everything else. But if you're willing to pay the fine, you're willing to, willing to do that, you'll pay the fine or you'll pay the time. And so let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Daniel, you take your Bible, look in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 came down to where Daniel was forbidden to pray. And now, I'm not just saying this tonight just because of the coronavirus. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying this. You've got to make up your mind to do the right thing, what you think is right, And if you got Bible on it, you can go on. You don't. Some guys will fight and for no reason. You got to fight stuff. And there's some things that, you know, they're trying to keep our health and then make sure that we don't get sick. But that should be a choice. That should be your choice. Now, if you make a choice to get somebody else sick, that's their choice, that they don't want to be around you. I don't want. If I have a sickness, I don't want nobody else to get it. I really don't. If you got any sense, and you got any kind of sense, you don't want nobody. I hope Sunday when we have church, somebody don't come in here with the coronavirus and give it to everybody. I hope they got enough sense. But if you do what you're supposed to do by washing your hands and all that stuff, you'd be fine. But in Daniel chapter 6, there was a decree that was brought out, and the only way they could find anything against Daniel was to go to his what he believed. And it says, and then the presidents and, where is it? The king heard the words and was sore displeased. There it is. Verse 14, then the king was sore, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, for he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So what was it? The decree that he signed saying nobody could worship any god but him. And you would think this is a total dictatorship. I mean, this guy was supreme. Because look at verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall find an occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And when it comes down to it, where the law of man says one thing, the law of God something else, you got to choose. Am I going to obey man or obey God? Daniel's case, I mean, his life was at stake. He was going to die for choosing the law of his God. And the Bible says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion. They're going down. So they get the king. They have a big party, and they start pumping him up. They start telling how great he is. And verse 11, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled down. Daniel was in captivity. This guy was in Babylon. And, I mean, this king could take his head off him, no problem. And he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. And these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. So they were watching. And when they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree, hast thou not signed a decree that every man that it shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true. Yeah, it was right. That's right. That's right. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. Then answered they and said before the king, his heart goes to his boots. Then answered they the king and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not any, O king, nor of the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He got mad of himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He couldn't even change it. He couldn't change his own decree. And these men assembled unto the king, said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute that the king established may be changed. And so Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, and God delivers him. And you said, what does this got to do with anything? But talking about Romans chapter 13, when the law of man says one thing, the law of God says another. And so look at verse 2 of chapter 13 of Romans. And I'm not saying you don't wash your hands and don't obey the rules. I'm not telling you that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's going to come a time, if they can do this, it's going to come a time where what happens is they take tax exemption away from the church, or they take the church property away. I mean, it's a setup. It's coming down. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I know there's conspiracies out there, but I'm not going crazy conspiracy. But there comes a time it's going to. 9/11 changed everything for America. It changed everything. And this thing here is going to change a lot. I can see it coming down the pike. I pray the rapture takes place. That's what I'm praying. I'm praying the rapture takes place. You don't want to go through anything in this life. You don't want your kids to go through it. Whosoever therefore resist the powers, look what the Bible says, verse 2, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. It's not they're not going to go to, they're going to go to hell. Is they'll be punished for it. You got criminals out there robbing banks, doing stuff like that. People even speeding. You're going to pay for it. You damnation. To receive to themselves damnation. And for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And thank God, like I said, thank God for police officers. Thank God for all the people that keep the peace. If it wasn't, man, we'd be in trouble. Everybody be, you know, you'd have to walk around, you know, with guns and, I mean, really walking in places and protect yourself because people would be trying to constantly kill you. Will thou then not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God. So it's talking about an individual, talking about somebody for protection. And so a cop is a minister. A cop is a minister. And pray he's a good cop, and that he'd be a good minister. We got Brother Julio comes down here, and JR is a cop. And I always tell all the guys that's in law enforcement, don't get too cocky, because a lot of times cops get so cocky, they think they're above the law. And don't get too cocky. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Thank God for judges, good judges. That's why I'm for Trump getting good judges in there, not some crazy liberal judges, and they're passing laws and doing all that stuff. So our country is in a battle right now. I mean, it's in a real battle. And I really believe a lot of this virus thing is political. I believe it's trying to crash the economy, trying to crash, make Trump look bad. So they thought they can't get him any other way. So they'll use this virus come. They can use it for their advantage. And like I said, it's mostly Democrats that's pushing this thing, and wanting to pass. They're going to want to pass laws. Somebody was telling me that the Attorney General, or in this law that they're trying to pass right now, there's a law. A lady said that she was talking to somebody with the IRS or something. They're trying to pass a law that within this bill that it would take your personal rights away, where they can, like in China, drag you out of your house and put you in a place where you don't want to go. For he is a minister of God. Look at verse 5. I thank God for good judges. Thank God for good cops. Thank God for good people. That's in places that they, you know, of government. But then you get some people in the places of government that they just want to do away with Christians. They want to get Christians out. Look at verse 5. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute. Also pay your taxes. Jesus told Simon Peter, go catch a fish, pay our taxes. When I was going to Bible school, there was a guy, he had literature, and he was going around feeding it to everybody in the Bible school, saying, "You don't have, you know, taxation without representation, you know, is not right." And so he was, and he gave me the material, and I'm reading it. I was reading that material, and he was saying, "I haven't paid my taxes in 15 years." And I went to Dr. Upman about it. I said, "Look at this. Check this out." He goes, he looked at it. He said, "Brother, that guy's a kook." He said, "Stay away from him. Throw that stuff in the trash." And I said, "Well, he's got a good argument." He said, he got a good argument, but ain't gonna hold water. And he said, "Jesus paid his taxes." I said, "Yeah, you're right there." And he goes, "Throw it in the trash." You know what I found out about that guy? He ended up in prison. Didn't pay his taxes. I had a couple come to church here. They said they didn't pay their taxes. They got in that same group. They didn't pay their taxes. They ended up 7 years in jail. They came to church here, and they were telling me they lost everything, everything. They were taking everything, and they were trying to, and they end up divorcing because they blamed each other. But you got to be wise. You got to be wise. When it comes down to it's a line drawn, you got to come down, you got to make up your mind, say, "Okay, God, I'm going to honor you." If it comes down to it, over in the book of Acts, go to book of Acts, when there was a decree put out that they couldn't pray, or they couldn't go to, you know, assemble, and they were doing it secretly. Simon Peter came out. He was in jail. I think it was Acts, 5? It's just, tonight just gives me opportunity to talk about this a little bit. No, it's chapter 4, I think. Was it 4? Where he was, where, what is it? 12, there it is, go to 12. There it is, verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. The church was underground. The church was in people's houses. Brother Veach called me. He told me, what are you doing about services? I said, we're just going to continue on having services. He said, well, in New York State, he said, where we're at, man, they're coming down hard on us. And I said, he said, we done figured out we got 13, 15 guys that can preach. He said, we're going to separate our church and have it at people's houses. He said, until this thing blows over, he said, we got people in New Jersey. They drive a long ways. He said, we're going to send guys over there. They're going to have church over there, people around them. I said, that's good. Whatever works for you guys. I said, but we got a building, nice building and everything. We're just going to, and most of our folks are local. We'll just keep on going. I said, they haven't told us we couldn't have church, so we're going to have church. And we got people that can't come because of their underlying illnesses. But it would bother me if people don't come to church and then I see they're out in Walmart, out running around all over the place doing all kinds of stuff. That would bother me. That saying that they're just looking forward for a reason to get out. And they run around everywhere else. And they're not afraid. If you're that afraid, then you wouldn't be going anywhere else. You stay at the house. And, I'm sick, but then you see them out doing stuff. He said, well, if you're that sick, why aren't you in bed? Stay at home. I talked to Brother Stocker, and I said, what's going on in Texas? He said, same old, everything. Nobody's changed nothing. The whole, yeah, different country. Republican governor. The only city that he says going crazy is Austin. And guess what? It's run by the Democrats. Isn't that crazy? I know Trump is under the gun here. If he doesn't do anything, they'll say, the Democrats say, see there, he don't care about you. And he has to do everything in his power to try to keep this thing under wraps. And I'm for it. But it's a political thing. If you don't see that, there's something wrong with your eyesight. There's a political thing. They're trying to get an election. They're trying to get power. And once they can control the populace, once they can control it, then they can say all kinds of stuff, make you jump in the hoop. And look at verse. Eddie was telling us about DuPont. One lady said she was sick. And they went home, they shut DuPont down. It cost them millions of dollars. Everybody had to be tested, everything else. And he said, they called the lady, she was at home, and she just had some aches and pains. But then finally she got the corona test, and she was negative. Everybody come back negative. But just people are freaking out. They're freaking out over this thing. And what I'm trying to do is say, don't freak out. Just be calm. Just get in your Bible. Some people say, oh, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm never going to get sick. The holiness, I'm never going to get sick if I'm right with God. But I tell you what, Baptists, they ain't right with God for a long time. They might. But anyway, verse 12. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. This world is not my home, brothers and sisters, and our home. The world doesn't like Jesus Christ. The Republicans don't like Christians either. If you study the Republican Party and see what's in there, it's mostly Catholic lawyers. There are Catholic lawyers in there. And push comes to shove, you think they care about church? No. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, and then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to 4 quarantined soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. The church here is people. It wasn't a building down the road. It was the people in the house. The church is a gathering of people. Without ceasing unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined around the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garments about thee. The angel had to dress him almost. The angel said, come on, man, Peter. That shows you the different type of Peter from the Gospels, when Peter was scared to death, and he was hiding and cursing and swearing. And now he's like, I was just having a good rest here in between two soldiers. I know I'm going to die tomorrow, but hallelujah, what a blessing. Boy, that's the difference between the peace of God when a man gets the peace of God. And an angel said on him, gird thyself. And then verse 9, and he went out and followed him and wist not what was true that was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were passed through the first and the second ward, they came onto the iron gate which leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through this one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And Peter, when it's come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent the angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, his mother, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. There's her. Mary, they come to Mary's house, and they killed James. And they're in there praying for Peter. So they go on. They just keep on going. So look at verse 17. And he beckoned unto them with a hand to hold their peace, and declared on them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go and show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. That's another James. Go back to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. We got to be wise, and we got to be alert of what's happening around us. And we got to be careful that we don't, you know, I'm not trying to go up against and buck the government, but I'll tell you what, it just bothers me when Christians yield to everything that they say. Verse 4 says he's a minister of God, talking about the cops and the judge and so on. Verse 5, wherefore you must need to be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, and that they are God's ministers. So you pay your taxes to pay their salaries. And Matthew was a tax collector and paid taxes, and Jesus Christ paid taxes, and even his family went to pay their taxes. And we're not rebels. We're not that kind of people that we rebel against those things when the Lord paid his taxes. And now verse 6, it says, For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So when you see, before I was saved, when I stood before a judge, I cussed at them and everything else, lawyers and everything else. I didn't like them. I didn't like cops. I didn't like nothing. But after I got saved, God changed my heart, changed my life. And I realized I was wrong when a man's wrong. Now, when it comes down to what we do if the government says, okay, the church has got to be shut down completely, we'll figure out another way around it. We'll figure out something else. We'll have to go to people's houses or what have you. It says, owe no man anything. That's David Ramsey's verse there. Owe no man anything, and that's a good thing. When you owe people, you know, I found out when people owe you money, they avoid you. When people owe you money, they avoid. That's why whenever I loan somebody something, they say, hey, how about loan me $20? I just say, in my own mind, I think, I'll just give it to them. Just give it away. That way, and I tell people, hey, don't worry about that money. Don't worry about it. But they avoid you. They don't even come around you no more unless they want more money. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this cause thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. When you really love somebody, you're not looking to try to hurt them. You're not looking to try to get over on them. You're trying to help them. You want to be a good neighbor. They always talk about State Farm, good neighbor, you know, as long as you pay your dues, but as long as you pay in. But you talking about somebody that can't give you anything back. You love your neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is a high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We're getting closer. We're getting closer to the time, Lord. And things are going to happen where you're going to go, I don't understand. People are all over saying, I don't understand all this. I just don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. Is this the end of the world? I mess with people. When they call me up, I say, is it in the world? End of the world? No, it ain't. It ain't. It's just a step. It's another step. And it's a step for Jesus to come back. It says that knowing the time, that now is a high time to wake out of your sleep. You know why he's saying that? Because the church is dead asleep. Churches, Revelation 3, the Laodicean church, sleep. Jesus knocking on the door. You need to stay awake. Amen. The hardest time to stay awake is between 5 and 6 in the morning when the sun starts coming up. That's the hardest time. If you've been up all night long, and we've been in the night time, and this is dark. And when it comes to salvation, Brother Rayton Puckett, like I said a couple weeks ago, when he preached, I said, when he preached before, he'd see people saved all the time. And as the years go on, you're going to see less people getting saved, more less people getting right, more people falling out. Some of y'all might be at home tonight watching by Streamline and all that, and some people have just been falling out. Make sure you're not one of them that fall out. That's what you got to make sure. That's why I want to keep church open. I don't want people falling out. I want people to stay close, and I want to keep the church as long as we can, as long as the government doesn't tell us mandatory martial law, you got to shut the church down. If they do that, we'll figure out some other way. We'll do something else, meeting homes. We'll do that. Knowing the time, it's that now is high time to wake out of sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Some of y'all watching by, or if you're watching online, get right. Amen. Cast off that works of darkness. Get right with God. What, you wouldn't want the Lord to come back and find you in the position you're in? You wouldn't want the Lord to come back? I'm glad they shut the bars down. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing, man. Now, a bunch of drunks can't go out there to their, you know, everywhere. Everybody knows my name. Everybody knows my name. You know, that, you get proud about that. What about coming to church and let somebody know your name? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor for protection of light. Put the armor on. If you've taken it off, put it back on. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering wantonness, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Like I said, some people are glad the churches get shut down. I'm glad the bars get shut down. Some churches need to be shut down because they don't believe the book. They need to be shut down. Some of them, they're voluntarily shut down. You know, we give. But as long as the Lord gives us grace and strength, we're going to not shut the church down. If I can't get here, I know Brother Mike will be here. And other men will be here. We'll be here. Until they say, okay, it's martial law, you can't have church. And that, I don't think that's going to happen. If rapture takes place, it might happen. But it could. It could. If you made up your mind, I'm not going to run for the hills. I'm going to stand. Disciples never ran. They stood. At one point they did, but then finally Peter said, I ain't running no more. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to cuss and swear and hang around the fire of those that hate God. I'm going to be with the ones that love Jesus Christ. You think Peter wasn't witnessing while he was in that jail? I guarantee he was. You know, somebody lost their life because Peter, the angel, came and took him out. Somebody lost their life because they said, no way he got loose like that. Somebody let him loose. And they killed him. All right. So what are we going to do, preacher? We're going to keep church open. Yes, sir. Church stays open. Amen. Look, long as we can. And they say, well, they're saying now things could be back to normal in 2 weeks, but then maybe a month. Then they said, maybe 2 months. Maybe August. What about the youth rally? We'll have the youth rally. What if people can't come? We'll still have a youth rally. We'll do it. Lord willing, we're going to keep on going. Amen. All right.